Welcome to the B Show.
The B Show.
The B Show.
A wrestling podcast.
So here we are, episode 3, my friends. The B Show, a wrestling podcast. Some very interesting things happening in the world of wrestling. And we pretty much shoot the crap because that's what, well, we do. Fancy J is not here. Unfortunately, he is sick.
Feel better, buddy.
Look at that. Third episode in, a dude gets sick.
It's not nearly as bad as our young boy that hasn't shown up once.
Yeah, that's right. He was, I was supposed to be here today.
I'm going to play rec league basketball with my friends.
Can you guys do tomorrow? No, we can't do tomorrow. No, we're going to do the day we do. That's the way it works. So it's me, Big Smoothie, my man Dixon, the former head of security at 2CW. And obviously, if you don't know us in the wrestling world, that's okay, because in the radio world, they know us well.
Oh, they sure do.
people knew that you were kind of the wrestling guy.
Yeah.
I don't think people ever realized that I was kind of the wrestling dork that I am.
I think a lot of us try and hide that stuff. It's not really accepted out there in the community. You get lumped in with all the Dungeons and Dragons dorks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I don't want to play Chutes and Ladders or whatever the hell.
I just want to watch a bunch of dudes.
Do they roll dice and like, it's not like dominoes. I mean, I don't know what the hell they do with those games, man.
I don't know. It's not as bad as LARPing.
What the hell is LARPing?
Live action role playing, which is kind of what professional wrestling is, but at least they don't go to the park and dress up in capes.
But a lot of those guys, at least, they have an avenue to do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just, hey, a bunch of French guys want to do some LARPing? Like, no, not really.
You would never catch me dead in a cape.
You have a cape. Don't lie. It's underneath your
flannel.
It's underneath your flannel. Sad news in the world of wrestling this week. Bret Hart with prostate cancer.
It's a bummer. I mean, that dude's been through a lot.
He really has. I mean, you know, just coming back into the WWE and I kind of making amends, I guess. I don't know if that really has happened, but at least enough to be back in the fold of
Yeah, I mean, Martha's never going to forgive Vince.
No.
Martha being Owen Hart's, what's the word? Widow.
Widow, yeah.
But Brett, I think, saw through all of that and understood that accidents happen.
Right.
And nobody intentionally put Owen in harm's way.
Yep.
And it could have been anybody up there on that scaffold that night in Kansas City. And unfortunately, it happened to be one of the sweetest guys in the history of wrestling.
Well, and the thing, too, is the Hart name, I mean, it'd been tarnished for so long with Brett not being in the WWE, you know, going to WCW and all the things that have unfolded. And
the circumstances surrounding the everything, too, I don't think really helped. I mean, the Montreal Screwjob was just a small part of it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Vince actually making money on the back end of Brett going to WCW was
dirty. Oh, absolutely. Dirty. Absolutely. I mean, that, his brother-in-law, British Bulldog, then his nephew coming in, then him getting the boot. I mean, you know, it goes right down the chain.
I think it's still happening because you got to look at how they're booking Natty.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me that there isn't a little something there stigma-wise from the Hart family.
Because they definitely don't use her as well as they should. There's no doubt about that.
Right? I mean, look at all the other second and third generation stars that have come along. I mean, if you're going to push Manu, who quite frankly is the worst Samoan wrestler of all time, and you can't push Natty Neidhart, who in my opinion is one of the top five female workers of all time, there's something broken.
Funny that you bring that up. This is something we didn't even talk about, but it's a good point to go into. Who out of all the second and third generation wrestlers of the last maybe 10 years has had the biggest screw job, you think?
Oh, man.
Has it been Cody?
No, because Cody's been there the whole time.
Yeah, he's still there, right.
I'm probably going to have to go with DiBiase Jr.
Yeah.
And I think it's all his fault, really. I mean...
Well, first of all, you don't put somebody like that with Randy Orton.
Right.
And who has a terrible track record anyway. So then you're going to pick, well, Randy's doing it, why can't I? Yeah. Right? You know what I mean?
And then you're forced to find God.
Right.
Using air quotes there.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think he was every bit the worker his dad was. Maybe not with, you know, on the stick or, you know, just he didn't have that inert heel thing that a lot of people have.
In the ring, though, he could work.
But he could go.
Yeah.
He's certainly better than Curtis Axel.
Oh, God, man. Like, if you're going to bury, can we just fire the guy if you're going to bury the guy?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's just like, it's ridiculous. I mean, he's not good. at really anything.
Marty Jannetty, you can talk crap about me on the internet just like Steph.
Oh, man.
But the fact of the matter is that dude really doesn't have any upside beyond being the Marty Jannetty of a tag team.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I totally agree with
you
on that.
And if we're talking about Marty Jannetty, let's talk about a dude that never did anything on his own. You know what I mean?
Like when he had the opportunity after the whole the breakup, right?
They gave him the IC title,
mm-hmm.
and then he got popped for being, you know, demonized by drugs.
Yeah.
And then you saw where his career went.
Right.
So obviously drugs are far more important to you than wrestling.
Right.
So how about this? How about you realize that you messed up, you ruined your name in wrestling, and mm-hmm. the fact that Stephanie McMahon thought of you in even any respect to mention your name on
Monday Night Raw
and make you relevant again means something. You know what I mean?
Right.
They obviously hold you in some regard.
Something.
To reference you.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you could have, you know, they could have said Skip from the Bodydonnas or any other tag team guy. Yeah. But, you know, Marty Jannetty is the most obvious example of the guy that was with a superstar
mm-hmm.
but couldn't attain at the same level.
Well, and the funny thing is they've brought him back a couple times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like they've written him off. They've brought him back. You know, Sean's done stuff with him. And
yeah, backstage segments, gimmick battle royal, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But every time he comes in, he's a mess.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. So getting into things, Monday Night Raw this week, I'll be totally honest, I couldn't watch the end of it. I couldn't get through the entire thing.
I'm just going to be honest. The product's getting harder and harder to watch as a whole.
It really is. The beginning of I like when Vince McMahon comes out.
Absolutely.
I don't mind the whole, you know, authority thing. I like that. I don't know. Like it's redundant. Like, listen, you could do what you're doing in five to 8 minutes instead
of 15 or 20.
But you've got 3 hours
to fill and no faith in your roster. So
right.
you got to traipse out Vince, who frankly should be a comedy character at this point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's no believability in a 70-plus-year-old man being a badass.
No, not at all.
I'm sorry. You got Triple H to be your badass.
Right. Let him go and lay somebody out with a sledgehammer or do the dirty work, you know what I mean? Well, and then not having like a Kane or a whole, you know, stable of wrestlers behind him too, just I don't know. There's nothing there.
I feel like they flesh out ideas mm-hmm. and they go with the first thing they think of without really
thinking about it.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, we should probably bring
back
the
idea.
Authority.
Yeah.
But wait, there is no authority. It's just Triple H, Steph, and Vince.
Right.
That whole thing only works when you have two, three, maybe four big dudes standing behind
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. And if you're not going to do that, then why are we doing this?
So let me ask you this. Would it be, and I know they've kind of made a mockery of the whole social outcast thing, but why not take that four guys and change their characters up to make them part of the authority?
Right.
And they're bitters. They go out and lay people out. They go out, not big guys, just normal everyday guys, but you would never suspect anything.
You got to treat them like a nest of bees. It's got to be all four of them to take down one guy.
Right.
And honestly, it harkens back to when they used the Spirit Squad in that same role.
Yeah.
You had four smaller guys
yep.
that were all capable in-ring workers that couldn't connect individually. You mm-hmm. put them in a group, and you give them a shot that way.
Right.
And you can still have the Braun Strowman
and then maybe
of the
have
world
one killer.
Lay
yeah.
four of them out.
Sure.
No big deal,
sure.
But you can send those four guys after a Jericho,
yep.
after an Ambrose, because the 4-on-1 works no
yes.
matter what. 4-on-1
nope. always
works.
Yep.
I mean, it's obviously not going to look as good when Braun Strowman takes all four of those guys down, but
right.
that's how you build a guy like Braun Strowman.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that would be a cool – you want to do something with him because what you're doing with him is just dumb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just I thought at first – I was like, oh, this could really be something because – correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I must have missed it. League of Nations is no more?
No, they're still doing it. But the issue is you got Rusev, who's always hurt.
Yeah.
Alberto's got a back problem. Barrett's always hurt. Now, Sheamus is hurt. So you've got all four guys with injuries. None of them are really cleared to work in the ring except for Rusev. And if he continues the way he's going, he's going to end up back on the shelf, too.
And then
Alberto's
we got a wrestling
working.
Kalisto. I don't get that. There's nothing that makes sense there.
I mean... If you're going to go giant killer route, you've already done it with Rey.
Yep.
And if you want to step into those same footsteps with Kalisto, you've got to switch it up at least a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, start with a guy that isn't quite the size of Rusev.
An Axel?
Yeah.
Curtis Axel type guy.
And build to where Rusev's like the second-to-last guy, and
mm-hmm.
then you let him go over a guy like Strowman or Eric Rowan, who
right.
seems to be jobbing to everybody lately.
Well, or maybe you have him go against the...
the Wyatts. You know what I mean? In that capacity, you know what I mean? He takes, you know, every week it's he's squeaking it out somehow. He's winning, and you know something's happening, or maybe he gets help from. You know what I'm saying? How they write all that stuff. Maybe that's the way to go. I don't know.
I mean, same token, you've got Mark Henry, Big Show on the roster. They're not really doing anything right now. And both of them, I don't think, would tarnish their careers by laying down for Kalisto, who's young and very over with the fans and obviously selling merch. I mean, you've got to do what's right for business. And Mark Henry and Big Show aren't guys that are going to let their egos get in the way.
Nah, because at this point, it's money.
Yeah.
It's just they're making money, and they're names that they can send out to do the goodwill stuff, and you know everybody knows who they are at this point. So like I said, I the AJ Miz thing, I think I got about that far into Raw where I'm just like, okay, this I can't watch anymore.
Well, that turned into AJ punching him a bunch of times, which was great because there was a couple of real ones.
Oh yeah.
And you could tell Miz was a little perturbed by it.
There was definitely some stiff shots in there.
Yeah, and you know, Miz is one of those guys that will tell you, hit me.
Yep.
Go ahead and hit me, because I'm going to react as if you really hit me.
Right.
Man, I'm just going to say it. Like, that dude is grossly underutilized.
Miz?
In WWE. As much as I don't like how he got to where he is, being an insider guy and knowing that he didn't truly pay his dues, I'm over it.
Right.
Because there is nobody on that roster outside of Kevin Owens that can walk into the middle of that ring and make everybody hate him.
He gets ridiculous heat.
And he gets no credit for actually being a solid hand in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He's not bad. He doesn't botch spots. He's not spectacular by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, he hits the spots and that's about it.
But heels are supposed to punch, kick, and cheat.
Right.
So he doesn't need a huge move set to get over or to make anybody angry. I think his finisher sucks. Skull-crushing finale. It only works with guys his size.
Yeah, you can't do that to big guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, either having a secondary finisher or maybe just, you know, reinventing the character a little bit, you know what I mean, would maybe put that dude over, and then you've got yourself another heel while all these guys are on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And Miz doesn't care about being the cool heel.
No.
He's like KO. He'll go out there and be the asshole. He's happy to be the asshole and take all the heat. There's too many guys that want to go to the heel side but still want the cheers and the merch sales. You can't have it both ways.
No, they're so worried about making money. Make your guaranteed money that they're paying, you know, that they're giving you. And guess what? You'll get the other stuff on the back end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what a lot of those guys want it right now and are not willing to work to get it. You know, Christian and Edge, they didn't start out where they ended up. You know, they started out being part of the Brood and being,
with
you know what I mean? With
Gangrel.
Yeah, right. I mean, and now, you know, Christian I thought was better in TNA than he is in than he ever was in WWE, you know, but you look at where they're at, they didn't start out there. They didn't really care about that. They did what they needed to do, and they worked their way through the system, you know?
Well, let's look at the Hardys. The Hardys were a jobber tag
team. Yeah.
Mick Foley went to bat for them, and they got a push. And now look where we're at.
Right.
They're both embarrassing themselves in TNA.
Completely.
But still, I mean, it holds true that if you're not helping these guys along, and if you know you're poor in the heel roster, like why are you letting this dude just do a talking segment on TV? Now, granted, he's facing off with AJ tonight on SmackDown.
Yeah, are they building something there? I mean, I just feel like they're wasting AJ already right from the get go.
No, I think part of me thinks that they want to establish him
as this guy.
Yeah, because they tend to believe that their audience is far more ignorant than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a wrestling fan, you know who AJ Styles is.
Well, at this point, that's why he's getting the cheers, because people know him from the TNA days and the doing the indie dates and the New Japan and all of these other things. You know, you get to a point now where that's why people know him. Young kids don't have any idea who the hell AJ Styles is.
No, but you know? But mom and dad can, you know, tell. And the other thing, too, I mean, that I think we haven't really touched on is a big reason AJ and Nakamura got signed is because they're launching WWE Network in Japan this year.
Right. So people are going to know,
You know, so AJ's been over there a year and a half, putting on the best matches of his entire career, becoming the first Gaijin to wear the IWGP title since Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's a big thing.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Look at you with the info.
I try, man.
Yeah.
And then Nakamura being a homegrown superstar for IWGP, you know, you're going to, once you put him in NXT, you put together some matches, you put him up on the main roster, you get those matches, you're going to get those clicks to WWE.com for the network. Plain and simple.
And then you're looking at, you know, you're looking at when Balor goes up, you know, you're looking when Doc and Gallows go.
Anderson,
Anderson and Gallows go up. That's going to get that there, and I think they could do something good with that. You know, then maybe it's a feud with AJ and Balor. Who the hell knows, man? But
well, something's up because right now, and I don't know this for a fact because I don't have WWE Network, whatever. But my buddy who used to wrestle in 2CW mentioned to me that all the Muda stuff is gone from the WCW archives.
Ah.
So I have a feeling that this is part of
that push.
The Japan launch. It's like, oh, hey, here's all this great Muda stuff from his WCW days. And then, look, we've got AJ Styles and Nakamura and all the guys from the Bullet
Dudleys
Club.
And blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, the guys that have put time in over there. So
yeah, because, I mean, the Dudleys have held the IWGP straps a few times.
Maybe three or four times, something like that.
The regular ones,
not
the junior
ones. Yeah.
Because the Bucks still have the junior.
Right. So, I mean, hey, listen, whatever. I agree with Miz. I think that, you know, AJ, well, he's only been 2 weeks, so I guess I expected more in 2 weeks.
He did great in the Rumble, went over Jericho. Mm-hmm. He's going to go over the Miz tonight. Sorry for the spoiler. and then they're leading to Jericho AJ 2 Monday on Raw, which is what the online reports say, which means that the rubber match is probably going to be at Fastlane.
Are they going to give him a mic? I mean, we're going to see him have any talk because he's not terrible on the mic.
The issue is Vince doesn't like the sound of a Southern voice on a microphone on television.
Well, because it makes
it harkens back to the Jim Cornette days.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and unless you're playing a Southern character, Vince doesn't want a Southern accent on TV.
Right.
And I get that to a degree, but by the same token, like, the U.S. is a melting pot. You know what I mean? Like,
it's time to stop thinking 1980, which I think we have a lot of that in everywhere we are. And in our lives, we have a lot of people that are still thinking they're 1980, you know. And it's 2016. People don't give a crap as much anymore about anything like that. And there's no thought process there like that, you know?
They have to understand that there are far less dumb people in the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, because you go back, I mean, the thing I don't think Vince understands is when he himself tore that fourth wall down with the Montreal Screwjob and you let everybody in, you're smartening everybody up.
Right.
And to then treat them like they're morons down the road, I think that's why we're in the situation we're in now.
Yeah.
I genuinely do. I think that because he's had this mindset for years that wrestling fans are dumb and I'm going to do whatever I want because they're not going to remember or they're not going to know, those days are long gone.
Well, it's just like bringing Albert back as Tensai.
Yeah.
Everybody knew that was Albert. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, you repackaged him where he did his stuff over in Japan. You brought him back here and then you just killed him.
And then you got people chanting Prince Albert at him.
Yeah.
You know, the same way they were chanting Husky Harris and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
You know?
And he didn't get over it as like Wyatt did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just disheartening. I mean, I think there are far more guys like you and I and Jason in the world watching professional wrestling now. And my proof of that is that there are five different companies on national television right now. And even when wrestling was at its hottest, there were three.
Right.
So you can't tell me that people aren't smartening up and that these smaller factions of fans that are following New Japan on Axis or Ring of Honor on Sinclair or TNA on Pop aren't wrestling fans. These are people that are much smarter than the idiot that sat in the crowd and thought that Hulk Hogan really hated the Iron Sheik.
I watch TNA more now for a tag team like Beer Money because I like what they do. I've always liked what those guys do. I watched TNA for a long time because of the talent that they had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, when you're talking about, like, Jay Lethal, you're talking about AJ Styles. You know, even when Flair first went there, it was kind of cool to see, you know, what they were doing. Yeah. Plus, you had, you know, like, the Stings and you know, the Angles and, you know, all those guys from when we were kids. So it was just like, you know, you had that melting pot and you had enough young stars, then Hogan and Bischoff went in and just destroyed it. And it's just awful.
Well, it went from being like this hillbilly promotion that was on pay-per-view every week.
Which was so dumb.
It was really bad. You know what I mean? Like the Johnsons on the first pay-per-view.
Yeah,
I think so. The two fat guys in the skin-colored suits that were supposed to be wrestling penises.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, fast forward to 3 years later, and you've got what is probably the best active wrestling roster of this generation.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just taking into account the X Division guys.
Right.
You know, guys that you don't hear about anymore, like Low-Key and Amazing Red, guys that were like
Alex Shelley, talking to Samoa Joe. I mean, they had
these
amazing
guys blazed a path.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Bischoff and Hogan walked in, it was, let's hire all our retread friends from WCW. And you started seeing the influx of Scott Steiner and Kevin Nash and all of these guys that can't work anymore.
Right.
And certainly can't work.
Well, no,
with
Nash
these
young was there. Wasn't
guys.
Nash there before all that happened, though?
I think Nash is what brought Hogan and Bischoff to the table.
I'm sure it was, but I mean, he was there doing whatever it was. Listen, I liked what him and Angle and Sting they were, because it made sense. Because here's these old guys that have been together before. Let them do their. And I think Booker was Booker into that too. No,
Booker's always been with the E.
That's right. So you know you got that, and then that was cool. So then you got the old guard versus the new guard, and that was cool. And then I don't know what the hell happened, like. The whole Bubba and the marriage angle, and I think that's where it all really went downhill.
I think when Karen Angle jumped over to the Jeff Jarrett side of things,
yeah, that could
is
yeah.
where a lot of focus started to be lost on the overall product, and more people were concerned with what was happening backstage,
mm-hmm.
and the TV product certainly suffered for
oh,
it.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I think bringing the Hardys to the table was a big thing. I think that brought some new interest back
yep.
to the product. But by that point, I think it was just too late.
Yeah.
And, man, I not this past week, but the week before, I tried to sit
it's
through
the TNA. It's tough,
man. And I was intrigued because, like, hey, it's Jeff Hardy versus Matt Hardy for the title and
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. And
yep.
I knew the match wasn't going to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's,
yep.
it's always the screwy booking.
Yep.
And part of me says, congratulations, you reeled in the guy that knew. And you're doing the right thing by putting the money match on pay-per-view instead
right.
of on free TV. So kudos to you, TNA, for doing that.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you brought this up. Let's talk about their production value.
Yeah.
Because TNA went from looking like a major league wrestling promotion
yep.
to kind of looking like an indie.
Oh, yeah.
On
with some big, with a big screen. And you know, and it's like they're... It's like they want to be there.
Yeah.
And then, but once you get down the ramp into the ring, like I like the six-sided ring. I've always liked the six-sided ring. Once you get there and then you see where their TV cameras are placed and the crowd's very light now and you're just watching and you're like, what is this? Like, what the hell happened? Like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this is where it was at. Like
yeah.
nobody, I mean, because WWE was kind of where it's at now.
In neutral.
They're just like, hey, we'll screw everybody else. We're doing what we want to do. And they're kind of back into that whole position. But they were getting that push, you
yeah.
know. And then you know, like I said, Hogan and Bischoff came in, and the production values got better, and which is that was
because
the good
Bischoff
part.
Bischoff had those relationships at Universal Studios from back when they did WCW Saturday Night
right.
and all of the other
right.
syndicated shows.
Yeah. There. I mean, they killed it after that, but some of the things they were doing was cool. But, yeah, it's just I was watching the other night, and it just looks really bad. And
I mean, truthfully, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla has better production than TNA these days. At least when I'm watching the PWG stuff, I don't have to question whether my TV's picking up the HD signal or not.
Right. You're right. Yeah, you were saying that. I didn't notice that as much, but you were saying it has a film over, you know. I just think it's...
Well, I don't want to brag, but I got the 50-inch. So
yeah,
lot
okay.
Of things,
well, my bad, all right?
Well, no, just, I
yeah,
mean,
right.
you have a better opportunity to pick some things apart.
Yeah, and I definitely think that... that camera placement, I think their camera placement
really
is in the wrong
really
spots.
Bad. And whoever's directing that show is doing a bad job, too.
Yeah.
Because there's these weird jump cuts where, like, they get this really nice angle, like, specifically in that Hardy's face-off with Tyrus. You've got the camera guy right over Tyrus's shoulder, and you're seeing
yep.
Matt and Jeff, and it's like, that's a great angle. And then just as it's about to climax, you get, like, the ringside guy that's shooting up.
Yeah,
and he's not even focused on the right thing, and you're just like,
"What are you doing?
Wait a minute! You've had 4 weeks to produce this television show, and this is the best you came up with,
right?
Where with Ring of Honor, I feel like the guys that run the cameras are fantastic. It reminds me a lot of the old World Class Championship Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
where like the camera guy was smart enough that if the dude, like if Moose is running off the apron to drop an elbow,
yeah.
the camera guy knows that as soon as Moose hits, you jiggle the camera a little bit,
right."
You know what I mean? Like, oh,
make it seem like
it
if
makes
Moose,
it seem
yeah, it's
way
a big,
more impactful,
right?
And it's a way to do it on the cheap.
Yep.
But they need to light their arenas better.
Yeah, that's definitely with Ring of Honor. I think that's my biggest beef is they do not light their arenas at all. I mean, it's almost like going to a 2003 to 2007 house show for WWE
when they were using the light poles,
where
the
light poles in the corners. Like, and it's just like, are you serious right now? Like,
yeah.
this is what you guys do. Like, this is supposed to be, you know. A mainstream company, you know what I'm saying? It's like, come
yeah.
on, man! Like you're telling me you can't get better lighting. Like bands, new bands have better lighting in their trucks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That they tow around with them to shows than you guys have, and you have money behind you. you know?
Yeah, I mean, they got Sinclair Broadcasting in their back pocket. And it's one of those things where, like, there was a show 2 or 3 weeks ago on television where you could see the shadows of the rigging
which
of
is awful.
The ring on the ring.
Yeah, which is awful.
How that made it to TV, I don't understand. Because, like, if I'm the dude producing that, if it's my money putting that show on television, I certainly want it to look better than that.
Right. Do you think they're going for that indie look without having the indie? You know what I'm saying? Like,
to a degree, I think the idea is that they want there to be
old school WCW
culture, almost Wrestling Society X without the gimmicks.
Yep.
But by the same token, like, they're not making anybody look like a star by putting them in the dark, on television. You know, like, light is a big thing. A lot of the guys in Ring of Honor are smaller in stature.
Mm-hmm.
So if you light them well and you
makes
shoot
look
them
bigger.
Well, they look larger than life.
Yep.
Instead of how you're doing it now, where it looks like a bunch of dudes that I see walking through the mall in their underwear fighting each other. You know what I mean?
Like, no, you're right. You're right.
There's if you want me to suspend disbelief, you have to do the things on your end that make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
And
it can't just be a storyline or two guys getting in the ring, because you're just, you know, you have to do the extra things. I mean, that's one of the only good things that like the referees in WWE are really good at, is they sell just as well as the guys in the ring sell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's one of the big, you know, the big things on their end, you know?
And the WWE referees might as well get producer credits because they've got the thing in their ear.
Right.
Like, they're running the match.
Yeah.
As much as you want to think those two guys in the ring are calling the match, unless it's Flair and Hogan, it's Jimmy Corderas that's telling you, go home, or finish now, or we're going to change this.
There's, unless you're a top guy on the roster there that they trust and, you know, you've been around the business for a long time, you are not calling any matches.
No.
At all.
Nope. I mean, that went out the window years ago.
Yeah.
You know, Rock's probably the only guy that can go off script and not get in trouble for it, which he proved last week.
Which we saw. So getting back, we'll wrap up Raw right now. We'll get back into the TNA and ROH talk. I didn't watch the end of Raw. Like I said,
anything.
Man, I just, it's the same old song and dance. I almost kind of miss Seth Rollins right now. I kind of miss Randy Orton. I mean, and that's trouble, man, because I really didn't like what they were doing with Seth Rollins' character. But now when it's not there, you're just like, oh, what the hell, you know?
See, this is the issue when you have a triple threat with three faces in it. It gets to
three faces that, I'll be honest with you, outside, and I like Ambrose. I know you don't. Reigns, I don't really care. Like, the thought with him making him the new Steve Austin, I think is dumb. I don't think he could do it. You know, I think he needs to be a heel. We've talked about that.
Yeah. And they're teasing it. You know what I mean? Like, Vince knows that the audience is not going to accept Roman Reigns as the next John Cena.
It's been 2 years.
Three. It's been three.
Hasn't been that long.
Yeah.
Okay.
And frankly, man, like, at this point, like, I know Vince is pissed.
Yep.
He's pissed at the audience because they made him change his plans.
Yeah.
And he refuses to change his plan again.
Yep.
So you're going to force feed Roman Reigns to a point where he's going to start getting X-Pac heat, and then he's not even going to be a good heel to you because people are just going to crap on him to crap on him.
Right, right.
You know, like, if they did it right, if they did this slow burn thing where it felt like they were really forcing Roman on you, and then you did the big FU thing at the end where he turns on Ambrose because Ambrose is the natural face in this whole thing.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, if you look at natural crowd responses, my money's on Ambrose being a bigger star.
Because he gets the pops.
Longer face.
I mean, you see it Monday night when his music hit during the Brock segment. He got a huge pop. I mean, it was crazy.
And Brock's the most over guy there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you know what? He is at a point where he's almost at, like, the Triple H Rock point where he comes out now and he's just going to hammer everybody.
See, I think he's beyond that because he crossed over and did MMA and legitimately laid waste to a bunch of genuinely badass guys.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Alistair Overeem made him look a little silly.
Right.
But diverticulitis.
Well, newer guy, Alistair too. You got to think, man, when you get to his credit, you know, in the time when he came in, that heavyweight division was pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, and he came in, he laid out Mir. I mean, he put everybody up, you know. But, and then when Overeem, who could legit wrestle and fight because he came out of K1, you know what I'm saying? Like, Now you're looking at some different things. So, but you're right. He did make him look bad. Yeah. But at the same token, like you were saying, yeah, he's a legit badass dude. You know, you don't hold the UFC, you know, heavyweight title if you're not a badass dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think with the crossover between MMA and wrestling now, that Brock is looked at as the only real guy in WWE.
And you could see still where he is stiff as hell on his shots. Period.
Because honestly, and in his defense, who deserves to be gone light on?
No, you're right. Nobody, because they're not getting it. You know what I mean? You know, besides Triple H and maybe The Undertaker, outside of that, I don't even think.
I mean, for me, if we're going to play fantasy booking, I'm going to go Brock Triple H at WrestleMania. I think that's a better headlining match, and I think you plant those seeds for a Triple H face turn based on the fact that Brock broke his arm the last time they squared off. You know what I mean? I think there's more of a blood feud there.
Maybe you go face turn, or if they were going to do that, or maybe they put the Shield back together and, you know, for like maybe a quick run, you know what I'm saying? But they put them back, at least two of them. You take Roman and you take Rollins, you put them back together. Maybe Ambrose is in the corner with Heyman. Maybe he becomes a Heyman guy. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he becomes a Heyman guy. Then you have the other two in the corner with Triple H. That could be something interesting.
See, I think Roman's the natural one to become a Heyman guy because he's the worst talker.
But at this point, you've fed him down the throats of people.
Right.
It's not believable. You know what I'm saying?
I think it is if it's spun to be a heel thing. I think Heyman's the one guy that could walk out and get cheered by Brock Lesnar fans and then get universally booed by Reigns fans. Because I'm telling you right now, man, they're going to build Triple H to be the biggest asshole you've ever seen in your entire life, and he's still going to get more cheers at Mania than Roman will.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you 100% on that. 100%. 100%.
And then they tease this dissension between Ambrose and Reigns, and you know nothing's going to come of it.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, you see some of these guys coming out of NXT now that are coming. They're coming in groups. Like, if you notice it, they're coming in groups, right? So, but you see these guys coming out, and it's just, I don't know. I don't even know what to think anymore. I know what I want to believe, but, you know, I want to see the Usos turn heel with Roman turning heel and let those guys do what they do. Samoan SWAT team, you know, Dynasty, blah, 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 blah. Maybe you have one of the fathers come back and run. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Maybe you have Joe come up and he's the mouthpiece. That's the right thing to do.
Rikishi's still alive. I mean, he's still fat as ever, but he can talk.
He can still wrestle, too. That's the sad thing.
I know.
I mean, he's doing his thing out in the West Coast. So.
Well, he's still got that title over in Italy, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still doing his thing. So basically, Monday Night Raw, I'm not sold. I'm not sold on any piece of it right now.
No, I mean, it's sad that two lifelong professional wrestling fans are burnt out on the product this close to WrestleMania. It just proves that there's something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see Bray get more love. You know what I mean? I want to see those guys.
You better believe that if they turn the ship around, that I'm not going to be sitting here shitting on it every week.
Oh, right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when they do good things, I will happily give them credit, but they're in such a lull right now.
No, it's bad.
And it hasn't been this bad in a long time.
No, I got to agree with you. Probably 03, 04, maybe, somewhere in there. I mean,
even then, though, the storylines made sense.
Right. Well, when they had the three shows and everything was split up, I thought that was bad, too, because I never watched ECW or SmackDown because I knew they were taped and they sucked. I mean, you know, because that's where they put their B and C guys. So I always watched Raw. But, it's probably been since about then.
Yeah.
No doubt. Now getting back onto the ROH TNA kind of stuff because, yes, we haven't covered that in our first two episodes. And only because we started at Rumble. So it was kind of hard to get, you know, a jump on that. I have not watched Ring of Honor as much as I'd like. I know a lot of the guys, obviously, 2CW used to bring a lot of those guys in. A lot of those guys came out of TNA, like Lethal. I do like the Briscoes out of that, you know what I mean,
that
run. They have a lot of cool, you know, a lot of different things. Moose, obviously, coming from Syracuse, had a chance to talk to him when you guys brought him in.
Dalton Castle's from the Albany area.
Yeah, Dalton Castle, you guys
have had a radio guy.
Yeah. I think I saw him here with 2CW, correct?
Didn't he? Yeah, was it Driver's Village?
Yes, Driver's Village.
And then he was at the X-Fest
in
14.
But, and the dude could work. I liked what he did.
You're talking about a guy that legitimately has a Greco-Roman wrestling background, mm-hmm. and you can tell when he gets in the ring. And that's what I think makes that character so good,
right.
is he's so flamboyant and so effeminate
and so
outlandish that, you know, it makes you think about Gorgeous George back in the day. And then he gets in the ring, and he's an ass kicker.
Yep.
He's
just
goes throwing like salto suplexes and like,
and you're like, what the hell did I just, what happened? What the hell just happened?
The party peacock thing, man, when he does that whole caw thing.
Yeah.
It's, do you know why that started? I'm going
to lay it down. Go ahead.
That was him mocking Brock Lesnar, and it stuck. And then the peacock thing came because of it.
I don't understand. Wait, what was the mock though?
When Brock first came back, before he was with Heyman again, he started doing that. Rah!
Oh yeah. By the way, Brock has probably the dumbest friggin' ring entrance ever. For that guy, he should be coming out to pyro all over the place, kind of like Goldberg. Not like that, but just there should be pyro and smoke. I mean, that's what that dude should have. He's got the worst entrance ever. For being the guy that he is.
But also look at the fact that homeboy is a minimalist like myself. Like,
yeah.
He literally wears wind pants and his t-shirt to
the
show.
No, right.
You know, like he doesn't care.
I know.
And truthfully, on some level, I think it works better that there isn't this giant fanfare when he comes out, that he just walks out, does his little jog back and forth.
The jump back and forth. That's what I'm saying. Walk to the ring and handle business.
Yeah, and the fact that he can still to this day make that jump from the floor to the apron without touching the ropes first.
Yeah.
Speaks to his athleticism.
Right. So back to the ROH guys. From what I've watched of the product, I like the product. What do they need to do to take that product to the next to their next level?
Production value, first and foremost. Light the ring. Make these guys look like champions. Make them look like legitimate
fighters. Maybe, i.e. the wrestler. The Ring of Honor, the setup they had for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, legit. I mean, I don't even know if they have that setup.
From a production standpoint, lights are really inexpensive these days.
Yeah.
With the switch from park hands to LED lights, things are lighter, cleaner, easier to use, and no longer a fire hazard.
Right.
So why are you not investing some of this money into this production value when you have legitimately, top to bottom, probably the most rock-solid roster in all of professional wrestling anywhere in the world today?
I mean, spend $25,000 lighting. You'll get it back.
Yeah.
You'll get it back.
And a $25,000 lighting rig for them to travel with could literally probably fit in 4 road cases.
Yeah, exactly. $25,000, spend some lighting, light the ring, light your ramp, do all those things. Yeah. You know,
and there's a few campy things in Ring of Honor that I can't get behind. Like a lot of people tell me I'm wrong with this, but I guess I just don't understand the whole Truth Martini thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a terrible manager. He's not good on the mic. And this whole House of Truth thing is like always this open-ended thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't really get it. And I think it's a very 80s gimmick. And it doesn't lend itself well to how the work rate in the ring is pushing us into this next century.
Mm-hmm.
But you're holding back your product by having what I consider to be a very campy, very old school, kind of pointless guy at ringside with that.
Right.
And I'll go along the same way with Veda Scott. I don't understand why the girl who can't talk has a microphone every week out there with Cedric Alexander, who can talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the I forget the other black manager guy's name. He's he was with Moose, and he was with ACH.
I don't know.
Yeah, Holloway. Holloway. But for me, I like their TV because it's competitive matches.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes you get like, you know, recap of pay-per-view stuff. Sometimes you get like these odd things.
They'll give you something, a la ECW kind of stuff that they used to do. Yeah.
And then the other thing that I give Ring of Honor all the credit in the world for, and as much as everybody loves NXT right now, that Top Prospects tournament every year always adds at least 2 guys to their roster. Donovan Dijak from last year is just now making his impact a year later as the tournament starts. He's a good hand. He's 6'9" tall. He can do a swanton without touching the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're talking about a talented dude that was lost on the indies, and Ring of Honor is now his home.
Right.
This year's the same thing. I wish Ring of Honor would have picked up Brute Van Slyke, because I think that was a guy that frankly got screwed out of being in that tournament this year. I'm not 100% sure why or what the circumstances were. But
he is going to do Japan dates, right?
He's going back to Japan.
Nah.
But for me, it's just like, I get it. You got to sneak Colby Carino in there because it's part of the storyline.
Right.
But by the same token, like, you're bastardizing the one cool thing that everybody in the industry respects you for by kind of, you know,
because you were doing it before NXT and you were doing, you know, you were doing this long for a while, right?
But for me, Colby was already getting paid by Ring of Honor to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, we all know that Mr. Wrestling 3, the commentator, is Steve Corino, his dad.
Right.
And the whole angle with everybody else that's going on. But for me, that spot, you could work him in.
Without putting him in that tournament.
Without taking up that spot that could have brought another dude to television.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's the worst thing I can say about Ring of Honor right now, then I think they're much better off than pretty much everybody else other than New Japan that's on TV right now.
All right, so check it out. TNA, obviously they have a lot of things they need to do to better them. One thing off the top of your head right now to better TNA.
You got to get somebody to write better television. You have enough solid workers that if the storylines made sense,
it would work.
People would watch that show.
Right.
But you can't hotshot an angle and then next week forget that it happened and continually just go through this.
That seems to be TNA for about the last two or three years, though. Completely.
It's a never-ending shit show of throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what
sticks. This one. No, we'll get this one because it's one of those things where how long do you think beer money is going to end up staying there? You know, those kind of things.
Dudes are in their late 30s. I mean, how much tread's
Which,
left on
let's
that tire?
Be honest. Bobby Roode should be in the E. You know, I know Storm was at NXT. I don't even know what the hell happened there.
It was money.
You know,
it was money and the amount of dates he had to work, and I don't blame him at age 38. You know, I'm not too far off of that mark myself.
Right.
I can't imagine working that grueling WWE schedule at my age.
Well, because they want to pick up the NXT guys and start pushing them. So, which down there was it? Joe, Rhino. Who else is? Is Rhino wrestling or is he just agent?
He's not really there that much anymore.
No.
I don't. Rhino, as much as I love the dude, is kind of flaky. Nice enough dude,
right?
He likes to travel. I mean, he's a dude that hasn't gotten it out of his system yet.
Right.
This is a dude that likes going out and doing independent dates and showing up here and showing up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once he settles down and he can get that out of his system, like a lot of the guys his age are starting to do now,
mm-hmm.
he would make a fantastic backstage agent for TNA.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely better storylines in TNA. Give me one tag team that people out there that listen need to check out. YouTube or whatever it might be.
We're talking the indies?
Wherever you want it to
anyway,
be.
Anyway, I'm going to say American Wolves because I don't think Davey and Eddie have gotten the exposure that they genuinely deserve for being what I consider to be the closest thing to the British Bulldogs since the British Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
These are two dudes, and I'll tangle with anybody.
Right.
Like, if we're talking real life, there's not a whole lot of dudes that I'm going to back down from in my life.
Yeah.
Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards are two dudes that
legit.
You do not want
legit
to mess
badass
with.
Dudes.
You can look into Eddie Edwards' eyes and understand that you're not going to walk out of there the same person. There was a running joke, like, because we used to run town to town, and I would always ride with ISIS Effects, and whenever we would see a carcass along the side of the road, we would just look and be like, "Uh-oh, where's Davey?" Because you just, like, you know what I mean? Like, that dude has an intensity that 95% of the other people working in professional wrestling right now do not have. And Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards, my opinion, best tag team on the planet, and the Young Bucks, sorry, you're not even top five.
Yeah, but I don't even know what happened to those guys. Like, they said no to WWE, and then it kind of almost like
WWE told them no.
But I'm sorry, right.
They had the E said,
they wanted more money, right?
We have too many guys that already look like you.
So that was the reasoning.
Yeah, so they already had two guys that were 5'10", in fantastic shape with dark hair. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you're going for? You know, like, if you're trying to shove everybody into the box,
right.
Don't tell these two guys that, quite frankly, are two of the best workers
right.
in the industry right now, that they look too much like the guys you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Put them under masks.
True.
Give them an outlandish
costume. That could be an interesting gimmick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That could definitely be an interesting gimmick.
But they need to stop painting the stuff across their shoulder.
Yeah, not
like
cool.
No.
All right, before we go, one singles wrestler, anywhere, indies doesn't matter, that you think people need to watch?
Beer City Bruiser. And it goes back to what I've been saying for probably the better part of 2 years, is that a heel should look like a heel, not a Superman with the costume off. Mm-hmm. Beer City Bruiser's a big, chubby, balding guy. Imagine somebody shoved an air hose up Arn Anderson's ass and filled him up to 340 pounds. But this is a dude that can do a plancha, a running plancha off the apron to a guy on the floor. This is a dude that can do flips. This is a dude that, quite frankly, should not be able to physically do a lot of the things he does, but also understands the fundamentals of being a heel. Like, this is the only dude I've seen in the last few years rake somebody's eyes across the top rope, scrape down their back with their fingernails, put the thumb in the eye.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't doing that anymore.
And I don't understand why, because it's the cheapest heel heat you can get, because everybody responds to it.
Right.
And this is a dude that you would see on the street and just be like, it's just some fat guy. And then you see him in the ring and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, what's this dude doing?
That's awesome. Yeah. There you go. So there you go. Inside look at some of the behind the scenes a little bit today, on this episode, with Jay being gone and kind of opening up. This is what it's going to be like, man. You know, we'll talk a little bit about everything. Obviously, it's a little harder to talk TNA and ROH because they tape as much as they do. And
yeah, and I don't want to be that guy that messes up and ruins the show for you because
right.
I read the spoilers. And
yeah.
Then,
yeah, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. So for those that were out there talking about, we don't talk about anything else besides WWE. There it is.
And next week, I think let's both watch Lucha Underground.
Yes.
Talk about Lucha Underground because they're launching season
2. Well,
you
won't be here. You'll be on
my honeymoon next week. You're solo next week, son.
Well, hopefully if Fields comes back, or I guess I get Timmy. Or we're skipping a week.
Skip a week.
So there you go, man. The B Show, a wrestling podcast. A little inside, a little what we think of the product on some of the stuff that's happening today. Which WWE's coming to town soon, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I see it. I know my son's going to want to go. I didn't take him the last time. I look like a bad dad.
No, you don't.
I really don't. He loves it though, man. And listen, that's you know
that's
he
what
loves
they're gearing
it, and that's
now.
What they're gearing it towards. I it's our soap opera. Let's be totally honest. This is what our soap opera is in life, I guess.
Yeah, except I'm the one that just wants to watch the sex scenes, which would be the in-ring action.
Well done. Well done. That's the end of the show.